You're listening to SBS News.
Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. Welcome to On The Money from the SBS Newsroom for this Thursday, the 27th of August 2020. It's your daily 10-minute wrap on business and finance. Our feature interview later in the program is with Flight Centre CEO Graham Turner. But let's start with the Australian share market, the S&P ASX 200. Up today by 0.16% to 6,126. Strength in iron ore miners offset weaker banks. We did see lots of profit numbers too. Afterpay, which we'll tell you about in a few moments' time, but also Appen, the artificial intelligence group, lost 11% today, and that's despite a 20% lift in profit. For his wrap and take on the markets, more broadly, here's Chris Weston, the head of research at Pepperstone. Chris Weston, profit reporting season is wrapping up, but it's a meeting of global central bankers later tonight that you're keen on. Why and how may it impact the market?
Well, we've come to the tail end in terms of the amount of market cap. Earnings actually the last few weeks have come down a touch and valuation is still pretty expensive. But if you look at the global macro picture, Ricardo, you've got a situation where everyone's focused on the outcome of the Fed's long-running review and what they're going to do with inflation and potentially look to tolerate higher levels of inflation going forward. So we're going to see Jerome Powell speaking at 10 past 11 tonight from Jackson Hole. There's other central bankers that we need to look at as well, but the world's going to be fixated specifically on Jerome Powell and the urgency potentially of letting the cat out of the bag about their new regime of tolerating higher levels of inflation. This has moved markets. We want to know the urgency around that. And that could be a volatility event for things like the US dollar, for tech, for bond yields and those factors as well. So all eyes on Jerome Powell tonight.
What about the Australian dollar? I've noticed a number of economists upgrading their forecasts for it.
Well, for the year end, the consensus is still that the Aussie dollar will reach 72 cents. There's been a few domestic brokers that have done that. But I think a lot really resides on this trade of whether the world starts to feel a bit more confident about holding US dollars. If they start doing that, then I think the Australian dollar's got limited downside, but you probably could see it down as low as 71 cents by the end of the year. At the moment, the trend is firmly up, and I think if we break through sort of 72.70, then it goes further higher. And I think those people who have upgraded their year-end forecast and into 2021 will probably be more on the money.
And the recent gold rally has taken a bit of a breather. What are your thoughts?
It needs a bit of a spark. Maybe that comes from Jerome Powell tonight. We expect him to obviously to be pretty dovish. The market's priced that in. But I think it really depends on what happens with inflation-adjusted bond yields. If they continue to go ever deeper negative, then gold will probably resume its merry march back up towards $2,000 and back above that level. I think a lot of it really depends on what happens with the dollar, that is the US dollar, and also with bond yields. They hold the key for where gold's going. At the moment, we're just trying to find this fair value. A sell-off would be good. That would open up a longer-term bullish run back into the end of the year. At the moment, we're just missing that spark. Maybe it comes from Jerome Powell tonight.
Chris Weston there from Pepperstone, head of research. Okay, a number of profit numbers coming out today. One of them, Woolies. Shares rose 2.8% today. Group net profit for the year down 1.2% to $1.6 billion. It will pay a lower dividend of 94 cents per share. But I guess the real story comes in terms of sales. Sales, group sales up by 8%. Online sales up 42% as, I guess, shoppers stockpiled during the coronavirus lockdowns. But keeping the shop floor COVID safe is costing the supermarket retailer a fair bit of money. Costs hit $107 million in just an 8-week period. So with more details, here is Woolworths CEO Brad Banducci.
That spend's gone to about 1.1% of sales. We expect it to trend down. Not because we're not any less COVID safe, we're just getting more thoughtful, organised and structured in how we make sure that we have safety in our business. And then in all honesty, a lot of PPE, personal protective equipment, has plummeted in price. You know, what a mask was costing $1.10, went to 84 cents, it's now 12 cents. For all I know, the next one's 8. The same was true on hand sanitizer. We couldn't get any, we were willing to pay what was required, we're flying it in. You know, we've got many more sources of local domestic production of it now. So it'll continue to trend down, but with no compromise in safety.
Woolworths CEO Brad Banducci there. Let's move over now to our feature interview, and it's with Flight Centre CEO Graham Turner. Now, the company really is operating in one of the hardest hit sectors, with travel at a virtual standstill because of the pandemic. Flight Centre today reported a net loss of $662 million for the year, but the company has also dramatically cut costs. So for more, I spoke with the CEO, Graeme Turner, of Flight Centre. Graeme, Flight Centre's been around for more than 40 years. How would you describe the past 12 months?
It's been terrible for travel. Obviously, we don't have any product to sell, and it's one of those things that I hope it's once in a lifetime experience. You know, having been in business since 1973 and with Flight Centre since 1982, never had an event like this. There's been other, catastrophic events, but nothing with this sort of impact.
Border restrictions that they've eased in Europe. How should Australia be dealing with it?
I think there's a couple of things here. We need to learn to live with this virus. It's almost certainly going to be around. We're not going to eradicate it. And the National Cabinet has agreed they're not trying to eradicate it, although you might wonder what some of the premiers are trying to do. There hopefully will be a vaccine in the first half of next year or after Christmas. But the efficacy probably of that vaccine won't be great. You know, it might be 50 or 60%, which will be a great help, of course, but it won't solve the problem of infection. And so it's really important governments like Australian government, New Zealand governments, basically learn to live with it, learn to be better at testing, covering hotspots, and contact tracing is very, very important as well.
So what's demand like right now for you? Where is it coming from, and from what type of consumer?
Look, it depends country to country. We're in 23 countries, and a country like France, we do a lot of government business. In New South Wales, we do a lot of government business as well. So it just depends. In WA, we do a lot of mining business. So some of those are doing quite well, you know, but they're only a small percentage of our corporate business. Our leisure business is pretty tough in most places because no place has really opened up. The States is going to the Caribbean and Mexico to a certain extent in leisure. But as you can imagine, in Australia, it's mainly just intrastate. And it's very important we get those state borders open, and not only for us, but for the airline industry, airports, and particularly the tourism, particularly in Tasmania, WA and Queensland. So, the borders are very, very important, particularly in Australia, but it's interesting. South Africa's opened theirs, Canada's opened theirs up, and USA never really shut theirs down. So we are a bit on our own at the moment.
Being SBS, as you can imagine, we'd have a lot of migrant viewers, we'd have a lot of international travellers. When do you see international travel opening up?
Look, I speak to Alan Joyce a bit, and he's on record as saying that Qantas will be starting back. He hopes in July next year. I think Qantas will be really focusing on their domestic and Trans-Tasman in the meantime. But I believe about the middle of next year is when we'll get quite a few routes opening up. There'll be the odd bilaterals before that, I think, certainly around Christmas or a little after that. But for general travel, European travel, probably about April, May. But that'll be in the hands of our governments to a fair extent.
Final two questions just on the future of the way you do business. Has the coronavirus changed the way you think you'll do business going forward in terms of more online and perhaps maybe less physical stores?
Yeah, well, Flight Centre, 50% of our business is corporate now, and a lot of that is online, backed up by, expert consultants. So that's already happened over the last 5 or 10 years. We do a reasonable amount of online in our various brands, and it will certainly increase. So, as we said, we've halved the numbers of physical locations. I still think both in corporate and in leisure, but people will want their hands held more because, there are the health issues. Companies are very, very concerned about the health and well-being of their employees when they're travelling. And leisure people, particularly want to know whether the cruise ships, the hotels they're staying with, the airlines they're traveling on, that they need someone like us to reassure them of the safety protocols. So I think the methods will change. There'll be more online, but I still think we'll have a very viable industry.
Graham Turner there, the CEO of Flight Centre, shares in the company down 0.2% today. Before I go, Afterpay shares rose 0.6%, now worth $91.26. The buy now, pay later company says active customers doubled in the financial year to 9.9 million. It did post a net loss of $23 million, but revenue has increased 97% to $519 million, and that includes $69 million in late fees. Shares have been on a tear since the March low, up 925% since then. That is On the Money for this Thursday, the 27th of August, 2020. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter at Business Ricardo. I'll see you next time.